Bible, dear friends, is, it's arguments and quarrels between men. You know, it's bred by sin. Get rid of the sin, you get rid of the arguments, but these will always be. You'd like to have yourself a copy of God's Word today. It's offered to you. Nice sunny day, you know, sit outside and read God's Word under God's heaven. And, give thanks to God for all His goodness, kindness and mercy to you. But of course, the Bible is a revelation of God's great mercy to us. It's a place where you find mercy and forgiveness, where you find the grace of God. And of course, it's God's grace that we need. You know, it's the only thing that will bring peace. It's the only thing that will bring tranquility to the hearts of men and women the world over. Whoever you are, whatever you be, you need God's grace because, well, we all got this one thing in common. You know, one common denominator that binds us all together. You know, we're all sinners. Not because I say so, but because God says so. So you like to, read for yourself a copy of God's Word. See what He has to say to you personally. And who knows, but maybe you get a surprise. Maybe you'll find the Savior. Or maybe, rather, He'll find you. Because, the Bible says that, knowing God, that's what matters. You know that Jesus.
Thank you.
You know, the Bible says that Jesus is coming again with His holy angels to take vengeance upon all those who know not God, who don't know God. You see, you can know about God. You know, you buy books, tell you about God. You go to church, you hear about God. But knowing and hearing about God is not the same as knowing Him personally. You know, you might say to me, I know the Prime Minister, but what you mean is, really, you know about him because, well, you never really met him personally, you don't really know him. And of course, well, it's the same as God, you see, until you actually know him personally. And of course, the Bible says that's eternal life, knowing God, knowing him personally, relationally, knowing him and knowing Jesus Christ to be sent into the world so that you might know Him. So that's what the Bible's given to you for. You'd like to have a copy, it's offered to you free of charge and no cost, no obligation to you. God's Word, what you're going to read to you, maybe a long time since you heard God's Word or read it for yourself, let me just read some verses to you. Now maybe I could spend a little bit of time explaining them to you. You know, just what's meant. Hear the Word of God. Run up and down every street, says the Lord. Look high and low. Search throughout the city. If you can find even one just and honest person, I will not destroy the city. But even when they are under oath, saying, as surely as the Lord lives, they are still telling lies. Lord, you are searching for honesty. You struck your people, but they paid no attention. You crushed them, but they refused to be corrected. They are determined with faces set like stone. They have refused to repent. Then I said, but what can we expect from the poor? They are ignorant. They don't know the ways of the Lord. They don't understand God's laws. So you see, there's some of the matter people, they refuse to repent, lest you repent, Jesus says, we all perish, Repentance is the first step, really, towards getting right with God and getting into God's ways of salvation, that is. So you see, we're all tainted, every single one of us, with the primary evil of sin. None of us escape it. None righteous as God, not a single one. You know, it's not, these are not things, you know, I'm telling you, you know, from my own mind, you know, just, you know, what I think, what the Bible says. And of course, well, you know, that's the reason God's given you the Bible, so that you know what you are. You don't know what you are, you see, you've never been born again. You know, you can't say to me, I'm a depraved, vile sinner, unrighteous, unholy, ungodly. That you don't know yourself, you've not been born again, you never saw the truth about yourself, never mind God. Here's what God says about the human race, all of us. He says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise, no one is seeking God. All have turned away, all have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder, destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. So you see, people, the ways of the Lord are the ways of peace. You want to find peace? You got to find peace with God first. Peace with God leads to the peace of God, which the Bible says, of course, passes all understanding. But here we are, all together. We're all tainted with this primary evil of sin. Touched all of us, every single one of us. None who escape it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And of course, it's increased the situation, your situation that is, it's increased, it's exacerbated by your refusal, you know, to turn to repent. They refuse to repent, says God here in His Word, you see. And that refusal, that rejection of God's ways, that refusal to repent, you see, to turn your allegiance from sin. You see, your allegiance is to darkness. Your allegiance is to the very opposite, contrary to God. Well, your allegiance has got to change. You know, instead of following the devil's ways, the world's ways, your own ways, you know, turning, repenting, as the Bible puts it, and turning to God's ways. But, well, says God, that's the indictment, you know, that comes to you here this afternoon. They refuse to repent, heard the gospel, know the truth, but won't obey the truth, won't repent and believe the gospel like Jesus says. You know, changing your allegiance from your love to sin to love for God. You see, that's the trouble, isn't it? You know, you got this love affair going with sin, you know, it's a passionate affair. You love the darkness, God says, and that's why you won't come to the light, because, well, your deeds are evil. So you see, people, it's that relationship with sin, that passionate affair, that allegiance to sin has to be broken. You have to turn from that, you have to repent, people. You know, and of course, you know, change of mind, you know, hatred for sin and a love for God instead of the other way, a love for sin and a hatred for God. Because the trouble is, you see, we're born into this world, we come into the world in sin, Bible says. And that sin, you see, that those sinful natures that we've got, you see, we're alien to God, alienated from God. And of course, there's an enmity against God, a hatred for God. And every single one of us born into this world, without exception, no excuse, you see. But God calls you to repent and believe the gospel. But, you know, He says here, the indictment, they refuse to repent. Then, of course, it's also it's the situation, you know, your state before God's intensified by your rejection of God's, you know, gospel invitations. Every time you hear the gospel, every time you hear the overtures of God's love and you reject them, you say, no, that's not for me, I'm not going that way. Well, you know, you intensify the situation, you know. your alienation between you and God. So people, it's it's important that you hear the truth, because it's only the truth that can set you free. Truth about your sin, your own state and condition before God, and how it is that you can get right with God. And the first step, as I say, well, that's repentance. That's repentance. You give your sin a rest, my dear, and I'll give this a rest. Yeah? When there's not a sinner left in Newcastle, when there's not one single adulterer, fornicator, drug addict, drunkard, when there's not one quarrelsome, bitter, angry person, God-hater, left in Newcastle, then I'll give it a rest. But not until, not as long as I've got a breath in my body. Why? Because I love you. Because I love you, because you're on the pathway to perdition. Because you're on the road to hell. You're perishing in your sin because you won't repent. And so people, you know, somebody's got to come and tell you the truth. You know, somebody's got to tell you what to believe. You don't know what to believe. You don't know what sin is. You don't know what your own state and condition is. And so I come to tell you the truth because I love you. Does that make me your enemy? Because I tell you the truth about yourself and about God and how you can get right with God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the only way, people. Repent and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God's at hand. Jesus says so. But like, you know, the word says, the indictment against you is, you know, you've heard the gospel, but they refuse to repent. You know, the refusers, those who declare, oh, and there are many such in our land today, with an arrogant boldness, you know, impudence, presumption, you know, publicly announce, they'll never quit their sin, they'll never give it up, you know, they're so in love with it. And well, you know, to give up your sin, that's a big ask, isn't it, you know? To give up the drunken, to give up the drugs, to give up the idolatrous religion, you know, to give up the self-righteous respectability, you know, to acknowledge that you're sinful, that you're vile, that you've got a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, to acknowledge that and to quit it, to turn from it. You say, no way. No way am I ever going to do that, you know. And they declare with presumption and arrogance, you know. Publicly they'll say it, you know. No way am I going to repent. No way am I going to turn from my sin. Well, if that's your declaration, if that's you, well, people, hey, you got nothing left but the justice of God. You got nothing left but judgment to look forward to. If you won't, you won't repent. They refused to repent, says God. He called on them. You know, he brought the sound of the overtures of his love to them. You know, his loving kindness, his great mercy, his willingness to pardon, to cleanse, to forgive, you know, and to bring you on the pathway of heaven. But they refused to repent. So there's nothing left, you see, for such a people as that. There's nothing left but the justice of God, the judgment of God. See, people, there's something to be saved from. Must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give account for every careless word, all naked and exposed before the eyes of Him to whom you must give account. Today is a generation, I know, you know, people think they're unaccountable for, well, for nothing like anything. You know, just they can do as they please, and they can do it with impunity, or so they think. Well, you can't, even if the state, even if the government, you know, legislates for sin as it does in this day and generation, for wickedness and immorality, no matter what the state says, no matter what Cameron says, what God says, you know, fear of God should be before your eyes. But it's because there is no fear of God before your eyes. That's why you do the things that you do. That's why men declare with boldness and arrogance that they're not going to give up their sin. They refuse to repent. So there's nothing left but judgment. Then, of course, there's those that class of people, you know, who promise, oh yeah, I'm going to repent, you know. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to turn from my wicked ways. You make all kinds of promises to all kinds of people. You promise maybe your loved ones, never touch the stuff again, won't do that again. You know, you make promises, but you got no intention of keeping them, not really. You just go back and back again to your sin. You just go back and back to your worldly and wicked and ungodly ways. You make promises, kind of like the politicians today, you know. And a one of them that you can trust, is there? So you keep telling me, so we keep complaining about, where's the politician that we can trust? Where's the politician with integrity? Where's the politician that won't tell lies, tell you the truth? But into the truth, we all like that. Into the truth, you're like that too. You know, you make promises, but you got no intention of keeping them. You refuse to repent. You say you will. You promise you will. Maybe even promise yourself that you will, but you lie to yourself because, well, you never perform. You never do. You never do the repenting. You never get there. The end of that, people, well, the end of that's the wrath of God. You know, one day God just take your whiskey out of this world just when you're least expecting it. Think you're going to live for many, many years to come, but God takes you out of this world and you're faced with His judgment. It's binding for you to die once, and then afterwards, after that, then comes the justice of God. But even when they're under oath saying, as surely as the Lord lives, they are still telling lies. That's God's indictment. It's His word, not mine. They refuse to repent, you know? Make promises, but they're telling lies. They don't really mean it. Then there's those, you know, religious. You know, just a show, you can become religious. That's not the same as knowing God. That's not the same as repenting of your sin, believing on Jesus, and coming to know God personally and relationally. You can become religious. That make you moral, you know, morality, you know, tidy your life up a bit, you know, a bit more respectable, the way you dress, you know, and people that you rub shoulders with, or you can become religious, that'll change you on the outside, but it won't change your heart, won't bring you to a knowledge of God. You see, a woman must be born again, you see, Jesus says. It's in His word, it's in the Bible, you can read for yourself. He says you must be born again. Something God does, not something you do. Only God can bring you to a knowledge of Himself, lest He reveals Himself to you. You remain without that knowledge, and if you don't know Him, and if you're not known by Him, you'll perish in your sin. It said the man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Religion won't do it. Religion won't do it. Just morality and respectability. You got plenty of that, you know. Idolatrous religion. Empty, vain, dead religion with no life in it. The gospel, people's about life. Repentance. Repentance, which is towards faith in Jesus Christ, the repentance that God requires of you, that brings life. That brings life. I came, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Is that you? Is that how you describe yourself this afternoon? A person who's got abundant life in their soul? Oh, you can be religious. You can be respectable. You can have a whole big dose of morality, but that's not the gospel. That's not life. That's not the life of God in your soul. That's not the life of Jesus in you. That's what you need, you see that. But that's what repentance, that's what obedience to the gospel brings. Repentance towards faith. But they refuse to repent, God says. Then, of course, well, there's those, you know, that, you know, do a partial thing, you know. Kind of part repentance, you know, give up some sins, you know. You know, tidy the act up a little bit, you know. Stop doing this and stop doing that, but, you know, the darling sins, you know, and the one that you really, really love, you know, the one that you're really into, pain of fleshly immorality, sexual immorality, sensuality, impurity, you know, idolatry, sorcery, all kinds of wickedness that comes from the flesh, that comes from human nature, whatever it is, you know, your darling sin, the one that you're in love with, you know, you can turn away from some, you know, some sins, you know, partial repentance, but, you know, you won't give it all up, but I'm going to keep this one, you know. Now, you got to repent of it all, people. The repentance that God speaks about, a fundamental turning away from all sin, without any exceptions. You can't have your sin and have God. You can't have your sin and have Jesus. You can't have your sin and have eternal life. You can't have your sin and go to heaven. It's got to be given up, people. You got to surrender it. You got to yield it to God. You got to come to the cross in repentance and faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Without that repentance, you'll perish. You'll all perish. So, you see, God says here, they refuse to repent. In spite of hearing these things many, many times. Many, many times. Some of you have heard the overtures of God's love. You've heard the message of His grace many, many times. And still you refuse to repent. Then there's those, you know, that appear to have repented, you know, the formalists, mere professors, hypocrites, you know, counterfeits. They profess to be Christian. You know, there's a lot of people, you know, that go under the name of Christian today in Christianity. You know, whole variety, you know, Mormons, JWs, you know, Roman Catholics, you know, and that's not the gospel, people. You know, they pay lip service, you know, they think, well, you know, I'm one of these, I'm a Roman Catholic, so hey, I'm okay. No, you're not. Yeah, no, you're not. Do you know who goes into the pit first? Do you know who goes into the lake of fire first? The Antichrist, the Pope, he's the first into the pit. And the rest will follow him. And then, of course, well, you got the Mormons and JW. They'll tell you they're Christians. They're not. They're not. They're hypocrites. They're counterfeits. They're mere professors. It takes more than that, people. It takes a heart repentance. It takes a deep fundamental in here, people. A turning with sorrow and brokenheartedness because you've offended love. Because you've broken the law of love, the law of God. And you have to turn from that. You have to repent. Turn. Turn, says God. Why? Why will you die? You know, when there's salvation, redemption, mercy, forgiveness to be found. But you hear all these things and still, says God, they refuse to repent. But you see, when a person rejects the gospel, when a person rejects Jesus and His love, when a person refuses to repent, it reveals something about them. It reveals, you know, it reveals that they have a greater love for sin than they do for righteousness, salvation, for God. And that's the trouble, isn't it? The love for sin. We love this stuff, that's the trouble, isn't it? That's why it's so hard to get rid of. That's why you can't get rid of it. You try, maybe, in your own strength, your own power, but for the life of you can't. You try to break your sinful habits, but you can't. You can't. Why? Because you love this stuff. That's why. Love for sin, people. That's what's revealed when a person says, no, I won't repent. When they reject, you know, the message of repentance that comes to you from the heart, you know, of God's love, you reveal that you love your sin more than you love God. You love your sin, and that's why you won't come to the light of the world. That's why you won't come to Jesus. Why you won't repent and believe the gospel. And of course, well, it reveals a hatred for the God of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him repentantly, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, God sent His Son into the world to die on a cross. That's how much, you know, He loved sinners like you and I, in order that we might be saved from sin, saved from its consequences, its judgment. But you know, when you refuse to repent, when you reject the message, well, you reveal, you know, a hatred for God. Well, you see, that's the trouble. The Bible says that's how we come into the world, hating God. The carnal mind, the natural mind, that's the man, the woman that's not been born again. You know, they have enmity against God, hatred for God, hostility towards God. That's why you live day by day with your fist in your Maker's faith. That's why we get the arguments. That's why we get people coming against, you know, coming against me and arguing. You know, you put it to the test every time I come out here amongst you. Somebody raises his voice, you know, or mutters against it, like, you know. Why? Because inside you, and there in your heart, you see that hatred, that natural born hatred for God. You're either one of two things. You're either a natural born God hater, or you're a supernaturally reborn God lover. No one ever loved God until they were born again. Till God changed their nature, changed their hearts, took that enmity out of their hearts, and made them lovers of God. Only God can make you love Him. Can't make yourself love anybody, let alone God, least of all God. So you see, when you reject the message of repentance, you reveal that you're a natural born hater of God. It reveals too, you know, your unbelief, your refusal to believe, you know. The consequence of sin, you know, all the promised benefits of the gospel as a result of your refusal to believe. You know, that's a capital offense. You know, I don't come here to condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. Jesus says, I didn't come to condemn. He says, I came to save, I came to rescue. We don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. Bible says, this is the condemnation, that you have not believed in God's only Son. And because of that unbelief, you see, death remains upon you. You have not life. Life of God's not in you. Because you've rejected the gospel, because you reject the message of repentance, because you will not come to Him, because of your unbelief. It cuts you off from all the benefits of the gospel, all the loving kindness of God, the mercy of God. You know, the forgiveness and the pardon, you know, and the comfort and the consolation and the promise of heaven. People, it's only the Son of God. It's only the Son of God. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus. Believe in it. In Jesus. Belief, you see. Faith, you see, is the answer. It's faith that brings life. It's faith that brings love. It's faith that brings liberty. But you see, without faith, unbelief, well, you see, you're cut off. You're cut off from all these promised benefits that God, you know, offers to sinners who do repent. But they refuse to repent, he says. They refuse to repent. And of course, when you refuse to repent, you reveal that you've got a resolve to continue in your wickedness. You know, you're digging your heels in. It's another problem, you see, with human nature. We got these stubborn natures, you know. Somebody tells you not to do something, what do you do? Huh? You want to get somebody to do something? Really, truly, you want to get somebody to do something? Tell them not to do it. Tell them not to do it. And the next thing they'll do is they'll go and do it for you. You see, I tell you to repent, or God tells you to repent. What do you say? No way. No way. You know, you dig your heels in, you got that stubborn, ox-like nature. God says in his word, the ox, the brute beast, knows its maker, knows who provides its food. But you, men and women, created in the image of God, you don't know him, you don't give thanks to him. Every single morning when you're waking up, before your feet hit the floor, the words, thank you God, should come from your lips. But you live off the back of everything God gives you, your food, your clothing, the air that you breathe, and you never thank him. God will send you to hell for that. Do you know that? God will send you to hell for your unthankfulness alone, never mind anything else. They refuse to repent and they show. You prove the point. You see, you prove the very point God's making. They refuse to repent. Why? Because of the stubborn nature, a resolve to continue on in your wickedness. Then, of course, you reveal, you know, a willingness to trifle with serious issues. You know, this is a trifling generation, isn't it? Yeah? Trivialities, you know, they're the popular things of the day. Trivialities. Anything trivial, you know, anything that's a piece of nonsense, and you can sell it, you know, you can give it away, people will queue up for it, you know. Something stupid, something dumb like a new phone, and people will be queued up for miles to get a hold of it. But you talk about something serious, heaven and hell. You talk about eternity. You talk about the place where you're going. Eventually, when you cock your toes up and go out of this world, your destination is eternity. Doesn't finish with this world, people. Doesn't finish with this world. You're bound for eternity, either a lost one or a saved one. It's either heaven or hell. But when you refuse to repent, as God says that you do here, refusal to repent reveals that you're willing to trifle with serious eternal issues. Your soul, people. Your soul. Where will you spend eternity? In heaven or hell? A hellish hovel or a heavenly mansion? What will it be? Your body, you know, it's like a tent. And inside your tent, there dwells a soul. And that soul of yours, when your body's laid in the grave, or put into the fires of the crematorium, your soul will already have been gone, and your soul will be dispensed of by God, either into hell, the lake of fire, or heaven. But if you show a willingness to trifle with serious eternal issues, to just laugh and mock and jeer and sneer about such things, there's little hope for you. There's little hope for you. They refuse to repent, says God, and the ramifications of that is, the consequence of that is, well, your situation, it deepens, you know? You add sin to sin if you refuse to repent. When you're told about it, when you're told about God's love, told about God's willingness to forgive, God's willingness to pardon, when you're told about the vastness, the immensity, the greatness of God's love in sending a Savior into the world for you, to love you and save you and forgive you, to wash you and make you clean and make you fit for God and for heaven. You hear all that and more, and you say, well, I'm still not going to repent. Well, you just added more sin to your sin. You just multiplied your sin. Every time you shout, mister. Every time you shout, you're adding sin to sin. Fool says in his heart, there is no God. Your stage, your condition deepens because you violate your conscience And the time will come, if you keep on with that, violating your conscience, I mean, the time will come when your conscience will be seared. Time will come when you'll not be able to repent. Time will come when you'll be past feeling, as the Bible says. You won't be able to feel the right and wrong. You won't have the sense of conscience anymore be taken away from you. Violate your conscience at your peril. Tell your people you got a conscience and your conscience operating, working. Well, thank God for it. Thank God for it, because I tell you, when it goes, when you cross the line, you keep on violating your conscience, you get to the place where it's seared and you don't feel nothing no more. That's the most dangerous, awful place that any human being could be. You see, they refused to repent and they violated their conscience. They became harder in their sin. It deepens because, you see, you know the right way, but you obstinately refuse the gospel, refuse to repent and neglect the gospel. How shall we escape, the Bible says, if we neglect this great salvation? Well, the answer is logical, isn't it? Doesn't need answering. You won't escape. You can't escape, because there's only one way of escape, and that's through the gospel. There is no other way. There's no other way back to God from sin's dark path. I am the way, says Jesus, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other name under heaven given amongst men where a person can be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. So you won't escape, you see? You won't escape if you neglect. You won't escape if you go on and on refusing to repent and believe the gospel. You won't, you can't escape the judgment of God that's coming upon sin. So your case, you see, your status, it deepens. You know, especially so, wouldn't it be sad if somebody refused to repent today, you know, because they were afraid of man. Fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. You know, you need to trust the Lord. I mean, what can man do to you? You see, all my pals will be laughing at me, you know. Everybody will be taking the mick out of me. Maybe I'll get persecuted, like maybe I'll lose my job or something, you know. Jesus says, fear God, not man. Fear God, who has the ability not only to kill your body, but cast your soul into eternal flames. What can man do to you? Worst he can do is kill you. He can do no more than that. Don't be refusing to repent because of the fear of man. Flesh and blood man, another foolish sinner. What's to be frightened of in such as that? Trust God, friends. Repent and believe the gospel. Or maybe, you know, because of some secret sin. Some sin nobody knows about but you and God. You know, and you'd be utterly ashamed. You'd be afraid if other people knew about it. You know how these celebrity wallies today, you know how they take out injunctions, you know, so that you don't know that they've done this horrible, horrible thing, you know, because they would be thoroughly ashamed if everybody knew about it. Well, maybe that's you. Maybe you'd like an injunction taken out on your secret sin, because you wouldn't want everybody to know about it. But God knows, people. But hey, don't let that keep you from God. Don't let that keep you from repentance. Don't let that keep you from faith in Jesus. That secret sin, whatever it is, however awful, vile, however ashamed of it you are, there's forgiveness. There's a way back to God. There's forgiveness with God that He may be feared. So don't let these things, don't let the fear of man, don't let your secret sin, whatever it might be, don't let that keep you from repentance. The door of heaven shuts from below, not from above. God hasn't shut the door of heaven to you. The door of heaven's shut from below. You shut the door of heaven on yourself by refusing to repent. But were you willing to repent? Willing to believe? If you can, Jesus says, everything is possible to the one who can believe. Here's the question. Jesus can save you, but can you believe? Will you believe? Will you repent and believe the gospel? If you will, if you do, you will be saved. God promises. It's not that you can't. Don't be saying to me, I can't, for the life of me, I can't. You can. Say you won't, but don't say you can't. Of course you can. Repent and believe the gospel. It's a reasonable plea that God makes. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Life and death hangs on it, people. Today you could pass from death to life, eternal death to eternal life. Repent, people. Repent, believe the gospel. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus says so. Repent, people. Repent today. I tell you, you'll never regret such obedience. Never be put to shame. Believe on Jesus. Believe in the Son of God. You shall be saved. Promise of God, command of God with a promise. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command. And the promise is, and you will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved from sin's penalties, wages, still death, eternal, everlasting death. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved from sin's penalty and its power that holds you in its grip, vice-like grip. It can be loosed, it can be broken, you can be set free if you will, in faith and repentance, call upon the name of the Lord. You will be saved. Saved from the presence of sin that fills your world, your homes, and your heart. Liberated, set free. The Son shall set you free. You shall be free indeed. So there's the indictment. They refuse to repent. Will you go on and on refusing to repent until it's too late? Or today will you turn? Will you turn before you burn? You turn from your sin, from your wicked ways. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, says God. Read the words to you. Not mine. Not mine, but God's. He says, seek the Lord while you can find Him. Call on Him now while He is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that He may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for He will forgive generously. Ah, repent, people. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened up to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. All the rest will be added to you. That's the primary. The primary evil is sin. And the primary good is repentance. Seeking the kingdom of God. First and foremost, primarily. Repent and believe the gospel. Time is short, people. Time is short. Repent and believe.